Yes, that is wonderful. Thank you for that wonderful music. We're not afraid of the dark, even though we are welcoming the shadow today. So I invite you and welcome you to this wonderful place, this wonderful center, and invite you to know with me that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. This wonderful phrase has been starting off our celebrations now for a long time. Kennedy Schultz used to say it at the beginning of the service when I was a student. And I love it because it opens the door to recognition of really saying who and what we are and what we're about. We are expressions of a divine idea, a divine expression of light and life and energy. We are the light and light and energy of the sun itself, having form and shape. We are in the physical world, in the spiritual world, we are the light and life of God itself, having experiences and creating time and space, world of being. Therefore, we invite all of you, because we recognize who you are, we invite you to come and celebrate with us. We are celebrating life. We are celebrating joy. We are celebrating you. We believe in each other. We have a whole set of beliefs that we talk about and we use to kind of measure kind of how are we doing and where's our mental and emotional and spiritual understandings and expressions based on these ultimate truths. And wherever we are in that continuum, whether you are a brand new person who's to this idea, these ideas, this teaching, whether they're kind of weird and strange and foreign to you, or whether you've been living them for a while and you're ready to dive in more deeply, we celebrate you, we honor you, and we're glad you're here. Excuse me. Wherever you're from, whoever you are, whatever paths you've taken, whatever your spiritual path has been to this point, however you identify yourself in the world of time and space, sexually, personally, male, female, and many of the varieties of life in between those two things we're more familiar with. Whatever that is, wherever that is, we honor you, and we're glad you're with us. We're glad you're here to celebrate. Now, part of how we celebrate and how we do this truth is by looking at ultimate principle, natural spiritual law, natural principles that are part of life. And Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, kind of brought those together into a codified sort of list. And we read that parts of that list simply to remind ourselves of who we are and where we are and what we're about. So join me, if you will, as I read them and read them out loud, if you like, since you're right there at home, and shout onto the rooftops if you feel like it. Here's the truth that we believe in. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Breathe that in. Take a moment. You know, this is a time when the world is slowing down, and at least the northern half of the world, the southern half of this physical world we're spinning through space on, is fired up and full of energy and light and life, and we are quieting down here on the northern side of things. So it's a good time to kind of breathe those things in that we talk about and we say. So today we're going to have further ideas and information from one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who is well-versed in this teaching, who is trained to use these ideas to support you and themselves to have a greater life, to have a greater experience of life that is more in keeping with what you want and what you desire and what you feel you deserve. So one of our licensed practitioners who will be sharing with us now some ideas and lead us in an affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment. So I give you Lee Huffman. Take it away, Lee.
Thank you, Bob. And good morning and welcome, everybody. I'm going to read today out of a book that is Living the Science of Mind by our founder, Ernest Holmes. And it's a great set of essays. You know, if you pick up the Science of Mind textbook, it's so overwhelming. This set of essays is just perfect for what just a quick read. And so this one is on page 114, if any of you happen to have it next to you. And I know some of you do. And it's called The Silent One Within Us. Ernest Holmes writes, "We find this saying in the Upanishad." The Upanishad is a text, and I just drew a blank, the Hindu text that is an amazing read, very spiritual text. But we find this saying in the Upanishad, "The silent one, the knower, ever resting in us, may walk, stand, sit, lie down, and not do anything at its sweet will." And in the Bible, it says, "I will work, and who shall let or hinder it?" What are these but statements of the absoluteness of the supreme being as the all-conquering power of the spirit? And this all-conquering power of the spirit finds self-examination and self-expression through man. The supreme being is at the center of each one of us. To it, the supreme being, we may come for guidance. And from it, we may draw both inspiration and the power to live, stand, walk, or sit. Every act is an outcome of consciousness. Every movement is within the divine being. And since the divine being is everywhere, it must also be the center of our own lives. It is not only at the center of our own life, it is the center of our life. Hence, to think of it as the very essence of our own being is clear thinking. Listen to this. To know that its being is our being is right knowing. And to declare that its life is our life is to permit its power to flow through us. Again, that's from the Living the Science of Mind. And it's a beautiful book to read and to meditate on. And I wanted to read that to set a foundation for a treatment about us living our lives and allowing spirit to express itself through us. So let's take a moment for a spiritual mind treatment. Relax a bit. A spiritual mind treatment is a form of affirmative prayer. You've heard Bob speak one already, and it helps us focus our minds and ponder what we desire and deserve so that we can receive it into our lives and so we can project spirit out into the world around us. So we call these prayers treatments, and I'll share one with you now. So let's get comfortable. Relax in your chair. Uncross your arms and legs and take a deep breath. Hold it in and let it out slowly to relax. Get focused in this moment. Breathe in deep again. Let it out slowly to relax. I'll say the treatment in the first person, so I'll be saying it for myself, but take it, any words of it, into yourself that resonate with you. And if something doesn't resonate with you, let it go. Let it go on by. Ready? Know this with me, if you will. I know there's one mind, one power, one first cause to all things. This power is known by many names: Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, Spirit, the universe, Allah, God, Christ. So many names that we cannot list them all here, and one of which is Source, because it's the source of all being. And so I like to use Source in my treatments. In this treatment, I'll call this power source. Out of pure love, Source decided to create the universe that I know around me. Source created the technology that we're using here today to communicate with you, whether it's in this moment or you're looking at a recording later. It is a message for you through technology that was created by Source. It created all the things and all the beings and all the life around me. And I give thanks for all that is around me. But it had nothing to create with at the beginning, because all was God, all was Source. So out of itself, it created everything, and it created me, and it created those who might be listening to this. Everything came through Source. So I tap into Source when I have a need or even a desire, and it says yes. I know that in these times of need, for myself and for the people around me and for the country and the world that we live in, that I can focus and become an expression of Source. I know that every breath I take is a breath of Source, of God, into my body and out to the world. And I know that it is good, that I am where I need to be at this moment in time, that where I desire to be is on the path that I am on. So I trust this and I give thanks for this, and there is nothing that is going to stand in the way of my connection with Source. There's nothing that's going to stand in my way of being an expression of Source except my own mind. I know that all is well. And so as I look to this week ahead and to the rest of this year and to the new year coming, I know that Source is within me and expressing through me and addressing any need or desire that I have. So I'm thankful, I am grateful, and I release these words as a prayer to Source, into Source, because it is not separate from me. And we enjoy this time together, and we look forward to this learning, and we open the door of our hearts to what Bob has to say today. And together we say, and so it is. And I think Vance has some music for us.
Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever seen, everything I've lost or won, everything I've ever dreamed has brought me here to the present moment here. To a new beginning here, and I'm seeing life so clearly now. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. 'Cause here I go. Sacred source, here I go, deeper, deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. Here I go, closer, closer, closer to my sacred source. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind. Get ready, get ready, my soul. Get ready, get ready, my soul.
Get ready, my soul. I'm diving in. So many of us come to this teaching out of the shadow, out of the darkness, struggling sometimes with our lives, struggling with relationships, struggling with prosperity, struggling with all kinds of hurts and pains. Many people come to this teaching that way. And we get here, and I'm saying we because I was one of those, and we look for ways and means to come out of that shadow, out of that darkness, out of that pain often. Others come here who have been very successful and are finding life in the outer world to be rich and marvelous, and yet something's missing, a deeper connection, a deeper place, a place to feel like their lives are somehow connected to something more. And for those folks, we also dive into the same place. And we dive into this whole business of setting intentions. We dive into the business of getting a better idea about ourselves and coming to know and recognize that we are expressions of a divine power, just as Lee talked about it. And that divine, that beingness is coming forward with simplicity and ease and grace. And we learn to see that underneath all of the layers of stuff that we may have walked in the door with or come into these ideas with, there's a beauty and a power and a goodness and a purity that is the very nature of our core. And we get better and we feel better, and life starts to show up with relationships and prosperity and all of those wonderful things that come as a result of understanding the truth and applying it in our lives. Yeah, and now you're asking me to go back into the shadow. Yeah, I am. Actually, not so much to go back into it as much as to welcome it into our present. Because no matter how much shadow there seems to be, there is always light underneath it. There's always a plethora of color and texture and life and goodness and wonder that is beneath and behind and underneath and coming forward into our lives. So we walk a path and we find ourselves on the path every day. We live on a planet that is hurling through space in its own path, kind of a spiral when you map it all out. It's a spiral within a spiral within a spiral. Makes you dizzy to think about. So why welcome the shadow? I thought we were here to get over all of that. Those ideas of lack and limitation, the ideas of loneliness and separation, and the ideas of inability to function or to operate, depression, anger, whatever those things are for you. But it's really important that we also welcome the shadow, that we not try to turn away and act as if it never existed. Because see, a shadow tells us where we are in time and space on the physical plane. If you can't see your shadow, you know it's either noon or really cloudy outside. But when you can see the shadow, you can see that it's late afternoon or early afternoon, or I'm facing east or west or north or south, based on where your shadow is in relationship to you. See, shadow work is something we've been talking about now in this teaching for a while, for a few years. However, it's fairly new in terms of the languaging of what we do. And yet we've been doing it for a long, long time. It goes back long before this teaching was in this shape and form. And, you know, Jesus himself started on the whole shadow work piece when he said, love your enemies. You're like, wait, that's a hard teaching. And I thought it was so that the enemies would get better. No, it's not about your enemies. It's about loving them so we can be grateful and thankful for what our perceived enemies are, because it tells us about what we believe about ourselves. If my enemy shows up as an idea, if my enemy shows up as a person, whoever and whatever that person represents is really just an outpicturing of what's going on in me. And I know many of us would rather not think about that. And yet in welcoming the shadow, we get to see a reflection in of what's yet to be done. I love the phrase, and I hear it all the time, you know, God's still working on me. I'm not done yet. I ain't cooked yet. Don't stick a fork in me. And that's kind of the truth here. It's like the shadow shows up so that it can show us where we are in our knowledge and in our awareness and in our actively living the ideas of this teaching and the ideas of spiritual truth. I want to share a quote with you. Jacob Lieberman is someone who has done extensive work in around light. And give me one second here. I just got signed out. Can you still hear me? Lee, nod. Okay, good. Let me just tell you what he says. Oh man, you see the quote. So Jacob says that a shadow is produced when an object blocks the light. You all know that. Whenever we block the light guiding our life, we create a shadow. Only when we are transparent and in alignment with the source of light, as when the sun is directly overhead, does the shadow magically disappear. I tried to get permission to use the clip from Peter Pan, because it's always been one of the most disturbing parts of that whole story, when Peter Pan loses his shadow and he's looking for it everywhere. Because see, without a shadow, we don't know where we are. We don't know who we are. We're not human anymore, because we're not taking up space. If you lose your shadow, you're probably not on the planet anymore. And I remember how disturbing it was. And then when he finally finds it and asks Wendy to sew it back on for him. At the time, I thought that was must hurt to sew it back on. But at the same time, right now, what I think when I think of this is that our shadow lets us know where we are in the world and in our lives and in humanity. And it takes other people to recognize it and tell us where we are. We can't know our shadow just by ourselves. So let's talk about the truth of a shadow. What is it? A shadow is not the dark. You see, in a world of unity and oneness, there is no dark. Not completely, not 100%. Dark and light are just measures of light. And what we call a shadow doesn't mean your goodness, your lightness, your truth, your power is absent. It just means it's turned down a little. It means that that's a place where the filters are up and the light's not coming through. The truth of who you are, the goodness of who you are, the power of your choices, perhaps, are not creating in the fullness of what you would like to see happen. So it's not something to be avoided. It's something to be looked at. You know, our whole universe is like that. If it's dark and light is a measure of light, warm and cold, hot and cold, are just a measure of heat. They're not two different things. One of our teachers used to say, I dare you to turn on a dark bulb. There's no such thing. So we don't have to be afraid of shadow as if it's something else. It is simply a measure of how much light is freely and easily flowing through us at any given moment. See, shadow is a place that is only masking by not being, it's not the dark we're afraid of. It's not the shadow we're afraid of. We're afraid of what might be in it that we can't see. So it's simply masking, covering, usually a greater truth, a greater knowledge about ourselves and about life. Many of us would say that these last 8 months, however many months it's been, seems like it's longer than that, of living with the virus and doing all of the things we've done and all had all of the impacts that the world responding to that virus have had, it's a pretty dark shadow. And a lot of people have talked about it in respect of darkness and shadow and can't wait for 2020 to be over. Like in 2021, day one, the virus is going away. Well, we still got work to do. But if you look into the darkness, into the shadow of this horrible, horrific experience for so many people, there's also light. Families have realized how important they are to one another. And they moved in together, some of them, to take care of each other so they could see each other on a regular basis, because otherwise they're going to be in different houses and different rooms. And then they have the whole physical distancing to deal with. Others have found that connecting with their chosen families or families of choice through the internet, through Zoom, through all of these methods that are now available that we had just gotten ready for when COVID hit. Interesting how that has worked. COVID didn't show up until we were ready to handle it in this connecting kind of way. So we've rediscovered what it means to be human and how important connecting and being seen and known and loved really, really is compared to some of the other things we've been running around doing until this thing woke us up. So the shadow, it is a doorway into a greater truth, almost always. So what do you do with the shadow if you welcome it? Well, one thing's for sure, you welcome it into your life. You don't go jump in its life because it doesn't have a life outside of you. You ever tried to do that? This is the flip side. When your kid's playing with your shadow, jumping into it, try to step on its head, well, you never can get there. It just won't happen because it moves. It's faster than you are, it seems sometimes. So it's not something to dive into and live there. That great old hymn from the Old Testament called a psalm. It says, one of the lines is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. There's nothing in there that says go live there or build a tent there or make it your home. You're just walking through it. Life is walking through the shadow of death. We are all living in that right now and always. So we have that shadow always hanging over us until you realize that leaving this planet and this experience isn't really death at all. It is simply transitioning to another form of life. it just goes on and on and on. And when we, when our bodies, when we leave our bodies and they, and it starts to go back to the earth, it is a short time before all kinds of other life and organism is being created out of the stuff that you're walking around with all the time. So we use the idea of shadow to give us an opportunity to look at, where are we? Where do we want to go? Is this it? You know, is that all there is? Is that all, that old song? And then making choices about what we can and want to do to move forward. See, it lets us understand where we are and who we are. And so we look at that. And if you find that your shadow is really painful right now, and for many people it is, the loneliness, the disconnection, the missing touching people, the missing being touched is a big piece of the pain that people are going through. So many people are in the shadow world of loss of job and loss of income and all of the hurt and harm there, or what feels that way. So diving in the shadow, looking at the shadow, is looking at how are we looking and handling that. See, prosperity is the same as hot and cold. It's not two different things. You're not either prosperous or not prosperous. But not prosperous, or poverty, or whatever label you want to put on it, is really a function of how much prosperity you are allowing to flow through. And it's really hard to do when you've just lost a job, or when you've just lost your income and you're wondering, how in the heck am I going to do this? See, and you don't have to know the how. You just have to know the what. I will continue to prosper. I always have and I always will. I will have what I'm needed and what is needed, and it will come to me and through me and out to other people. Standing in that truth, finding that place, it's often about looking in the shadow. There are people who have lost their jobs and gone, you know, I really didn't like that job anyway. Or I was really done. I'm trying to figure out a way to make a shift to another career, and I just couldn't quite do it yet. Didn't know what it was. That was true for my daughter. She got laid off because of COVID. And then begin to realize that some of the things she'd been volunteering for in the education world were really what she loved to do more than what she was getting paid to do. Now she's getting paid to teach. Once you get clear about what you want and what is yours to give, it's amazing how even in COVID and even in the so-called depressed time, how the money, how the prosperity will flow. It may not come through ways that you've thought of, and it may not be in the usual way, and yet it still works. Spiritual law, spiritual truth is as alive today and functional today as it ever was. It hasn't stopped. It doesn't have a virus. It doesn't know anything about a virus. But if you find yourself in this place where these painful things are there and you can't seem to shift your thinking or move it to a different way to be, then talk to somebody. Get a trusted friend. Call a practitioner. Contact a practitioner through our website. Why a practitioner? Because they have a real skill ability that is proven and documented to help you see through the shadow into the truth, the light that's always there. They see it. They know it, and they can see it for you when you can't see it. I was having a conversation with a fellow minister this week, and we were talking about how easily we can do that for other people and how difficult it is for ourselves. We get mired down in our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own feelings and our own messages to ourselves and about what works and what doesn't work. And it becomes very difficult sometimes to do a spiritual mind treatment for ourselves in a way that will allow us to lift out of the shadow, to bring the light into the shadow. And so reaching out to someone else to do it for us. Rent a consciousness is one of the things we describe practitioner. And there are many of us out there. And there are many of us who are part of this organization, other organizations. It's a worldwide phenomenon. I used to know how many we had, something like 6,000 across the country. So there are plenty of people out there to support you in this time. So reach out, say what you need to say. See, the other part of dealing with shadow is that it's sometimes important to really look into that place within yourself. There are, I thought that we are dealing with individual shadows that sometimes we hide from ourselves or are hidden from us. And then something will happen and it shows up. And when it does, then we go, yes, that makes sense. Now I understand what's going on. Because often, if you've worked with this teaching for a while, as soon as you understand what the false idea is, what's showing up that is shadow, then you know what the light is that needs to come into it. It can be that quick. But sometimes you don't know that quickly. This is the time of year where we have longer nights, shorter days, where people make a real choice. Many people choose right now is the time to turn on the lights, turn up the joy, turn up the tinsel, turn up all of the celebratory stuff. And for some people, that sends them into an even darker place. And darker feeling. If your relationship with this time of year is not pleasant, if you had difficulties in childhood or elsewhere in terms of how you related in these times, that brighter light of celebration can make the shadow even denser and darker. It's just like, you know, in physical life, if the light's really bright, the shadow's really laid out and marked, and you see it clearly. So what do you do? Same thing. You welcome the shadow. Use the longer nights and shorter days to take time by yourself. I don't do a lot of parties this time of year. Of course, right now, parties are all virtual pretty much. But even in the years before, because I love this time of year to spend more time in meditation, more time in contemplation, more time looking at where have I been this year? What have I done? What are the wonderful things that have happened? And there's so many of them. And what are the places where I didn't quite let the light shine through as clearly as I could have? And instead of beating myself up for that, I just notice it and make decisions about what to do differently next time it comes up. It's a great season for this. It's a great time to look at this, to let the brightness or the need for more quiet show up. Our bodies are screaming for quiet. They're not screaming for parties. Not saying you shouldn't party. I'm just saying that's not what your body's asking for. Because you live on a planet where this part of the planet has gone quiet, where the trees have dropped their leaves, where all of the plants have gone into a kind of dormancy. Thank goodness here in Georgia, it's less time than it was in Colorado. They've been in this for a while. We're just now getting there. And I like that part. But it's a great time. The whole universe is supporting you and going quiet and looking inside. And it's true now all the way to solstice, which is the end and beginning of the year. The solar year ends and starts on solstice. And we'll be celebrating that here, by the way. So it's a great time, whether it's to dance in ecstasy over what you discover in the shadow, or whether it's to sit and journal about it, or perhaps to weep and cry over the sadness of it. Because none of it is permanent, because the light is always there. The presence of the spirit of life is always there. Ernest Holmes said, and this is my paraphrase of Ernest, that is our role in this teaching, to look squarely in the face any discordant fact. Discordant fact is in anything that's happening in our lives or other people's lives that doesn't match the truth as we know it. To look at it, not to shy away from it, not to turn away from it, but to look at it squarely and know better. And it's almost like sometimes you have to look at it a while to see the know better part. And we have some cultural shadow where we've dealt with for centuries that is really coming to the surface and bubbling up in terms of our social concerns and our racist concerns and our sexist concerns and all of those things that we're finally paying more attention to. But we didn't just start them. They've been bubbling there for hundreds of years. But we are now at a place in consciousness. We have evolved to a place in consciousness where we can see past those and bring healing and transformation. But we have to do that each within our own part in the larger culture, in our own way. So I invite you to take this time now until solstice and following for that matter, to go quiet, to glance at the shadow, to welcome the shadow to show itself to you, to know that you can't lose it, you never have, and then to allow the light that spirit is, the light that God is, the truth that life is, to shine more fully through you as you practice the truth and live the truth so that the shadow is no longer there. Not many people get to that point, but sometimes you have moments and flickers where you're so clear about who you are. That's the biggest shadow we all carry, is not knowing who we are. But you get so clear about who you are, what your power is, your ability to love, because love is the direction we're going with all of this. And when that happens, it's bliss, it's wonderful, and so are you, and so it is, and so am I. Thank you. So let's take a moment and let's go quiet. Let's move within as we allow ourselves a few moments to just listen. Listen to the truth. Listen to the shadow. Listen to whatever is whispering to you from in your own heart. For it's also true that some of what we assign to the shadow isn't shadow at all. We just need to look at it differently. So we take a moment and we turn within. We allow any ideas that have been floating up to the surface as you've listened to my words to just float by. Don't attach to any of them. Just notice. And look through them into a deeper place within you. There's a place within you that's never been touched by any challenge, by any negativity, by any of what we call shadow. There's a place within you that is pure and good and true. Regardless of what you've been saying to yourself about who you are, regardless of what anyone else may have said to you, it is that place, that part of you where God sees you the way God sees you, which is absolutely perfect opportunity to express and to love and to be loved. That's all. It doesn't even see anything lack or limiting. It sees the part of light that's always shining through wherever you are, wherever you've been. So imagine that that's somewhere in your body, in your heart, perhaps. That point of light, that place, that spatial consciousness. With every breath you take, see it as you're breathing into the fire, you're breathing into the shadow, and you're bringing, just like blowing on a fire, you're bringing greater light. Every breath in, that center of light within you shines more brightly and more brightly and more brightly. And as it does, it fills your whole body with that sensation, that tingling awareness that no matter where you've been and what you've done, in truth, you are an expression of the divine, of the God that is within you, the spirit that you live within. All of that is present in you as you right now, and your body has the ability to feel it. So step outside and let your body show you how it feels. You may want to move. You may want to feel the movement of life within you. You may want simply to go into a deep, quiet calm. But you are the light. You are the light that dispels the shadow in your own life. And so am I. And so it is. And now we'll hear from one of our wonderful board members. Thank you to all of our board members who are doing the work of keeping things in order and in line, and keeping me in line sometimes, but making sure that we get all of the work done that is required on the physical level for this amazing spiritual idea called the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, to give it a physical place and physical presence on the internet and wherever. We're scattered all over the world. It's a rich and beautiful thing, and it's wonderful to watch. And thank you, board, for all that you do to continue and prosper this. So we'll hear now from Cynthia McCarthy, Reverend Cynthia McCarthy.
Hello. Thank you, Dr. Bob. That was very insightful. And I just want you to keep talking, honestly. It's a very good talk. Thank you. Great subject.
I will keep talking next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, from 10 to 11:30 or 7 to 8:30. We're going to continue this theme as a workshop. So great. Thank you, Cynthia, for giving me that.
It's your segue. Okay. All right. Well, I do have to make a quick public service announcement for you all. And part of this is to remind us all, from the spiritual perspective, we know that faith without works is dead. And we might say it as we like to treat and move our feet, right? So I have always had this wonderful faith that I'm divinely guided and led and protected. And I believe I live in a trusting universe and will just never have to deal with being hacked or, you know, on my emails or phone or anything, or not have to deal with fraud or anything like that. And that faith has served me very well for many years. And I will admit that I guess lately I have been forgetting the works part and the moving my feet part. And I forgot what was mine to do, which was changing my passwords frequently and making sure that none of my passwords are the same. Because you see, over the past couple weeks in my world, my Instagram, my Facebook, my email, my Spotify music streaming stuff, my Amazon account, Apple ID, cell phone, and many other websites, that even ones that I haven't been to in years, were hacked. And it has been a bit of a nightmare, and I'm still sorting it out. So FYI, I do want to say this as well. Any contacts that I've put in my phone for the last year or so, for some reason, have vanished. And that includes most, if not all, of my CSL friends. So if we have texted or called via phone, please feel free to reach out. And if I'm in your phone, you're probably not in mine. So send me a this is so-and-so text, please. That would be great. So I am very grateful that somehow, by the grace of God, no banking information or credit card information was stolen and compromised. So that protection was there. Very grateful for that. But this is my recommendation, and I am very serious about this. Please take a moment and change your passwords. Don't let them be the same. Take that step to protect yourself. We care about your abundance and prosperity, as Dr. Bob just mentioned too. We know this is spiritual principles. So take that step and protect yourselves. So speaking of abundance and prosperity, we are an abundant, prosperous Center for Spiritual Living. And we thank you. It's because of you. It's because of your gifts, your tithes, your offerings, all the ways that you support us and serve us. And let's see, I'll put in the chat our little ways to give. And, you know, you can do it via the website. You can do it via Realm, which was not hacked. Very safe. I use Realm on our website. You can make reoccurring payments. You can use PayPal. You can mail us a snail mail check if you'd like. So let's affirm this truth and take a moment to bask in this and our affirmation of prosperity together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. All right, we have some announcements. We have all kinds of things going on. Okay, so our theme for the month, celebrating divine truth. Next Sunday, Dr. Rob will be here with the topic, preparing the way. So today, if you have time and you're on the Zoom, please feel free to stay after a little bit. We're going to celebrate our December birthdays. It's the first Sunday of the month. We're going to have some discussion. I think Bob has some fun stuff and conversation planned for us. Dr. Bob mentioned his workshop that is this Wednesday. So he's kind of continuing this in the shadow talk. And let's see, let me touch on, So we're going to use meditation, self-reflection, and really explore what we might have been avoiding from ourselves in this shadow. We're going to talk about maybe what we've been tolerating, shine the light into the shadow, and really develop a plan for the holiday season and this coming solstice, and talk about the natural rhythms of life at this time. This class is coming up. It's just a one-shot thing, hour and a half. You have two options. It's this Wednesday, December 9th, one at 10 a.m. in the morning. And then there's a second one. Just choose one. There's one at 7 p.m. as well. And the cost is $20. I'm always amazed when we charge such a little amount for a one-shot thing where it's like these are life skills and spiritual principles that are really going to be valuable and help us. So do check that out. You can register online. It's on our website. We have during the week online spiritual empowerment sessions. You guys, our little small group is growing every week. It seems we have new people on there. Is this your week to check it out and to come on there? It is such an amazing thing. We just check in, say how we're doing. Dr. Bob leads us in a great spiritual mind treatment, and it's quick, 30 minutes, and you're out the door and you're feeling like $1 million. So if you're wanting and needing that boost, definitely check that out. That's Tuesdays at noon, and it is the same Zoom link that you're on right now. You know, we're on Facebook. If you see our posts, if you see our talks, our videos, click share, comment, like, just it helps spread our message. Facebook works with algorithms. That's how it works. So the more activity we've got going on there, the more people we end up reaching. So that's my little plug for that. Thank you for doing that for us. We have before our services on Sunday morning, our discussion group for the Science of Mind textbook. We love newcomers to that. Even if you're not really familiar with it, we can show you the ropes and teach you where the readings are. They're in the book for the week. So come and join that discussion group. Thank you, Maya, for leading that. We have practitioners here for you. I know we've mentioned some of them have put their information in the chat. Reach out. There's also on the website a fill-in thing. If you just have a prayer request and you just want to submit a prayer that way, that's a great way to reach out for a practitioner as well. Let's see. I feel like I got everything good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yes. Very well done. You covered it all. So we are at that point of ending for today. And again, as Cynthia said, if you'd like to stay around for a little bit, this is our coffee klatch. I think that's an old-fashioned expression, but I'm old-fashioned sometimes. So anyway, stick around. I've got a game plan for us that I think you'll enjoy and find some real silliness as well as some learning in it based on how we develop our brains. So come on in and join us. And right now, however, we are going to close. And here is our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you.